Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. I am so glad to be back talking to you guys after taking last week off for Thanksgiving. It feels like it has been forever since the podcast. I don't know why I only took 1 week off, but here we are. And I'm really excited to jump into December's topic of the MBN Challenge, the Mind Budget Nest Challenge is what that stands for. Basically, it is us finishing the last 3 months of the year on a high note, talking about our mindset, our budget, and now in December, our home. And I'm just really excited to talk about this because this is a topic that I'm really passionate about that I don't talk about very much because I usually focus on the money side of things or the mindset side of things. So I am really excited to dig into the topic of our homes, minimalism, just being intentional in that aspect of our lives as well. Before we jump into this topic, I want to invite you guys to something really exciting that I have coming up. It is a brand new live workshop, and I'm actually co-hosting it with Allie from Financially Focused, and she was on the last episode as a guest, and we kind of teased about it a little bit, but I'm ready to give you all of the details now. So the workshop is called Best Budgeting Year Workshop, and it is talking all about the money myths that will ruin the new decade. So you guys, not only are we about to start a brand new year right around the corner, we're actually starting a brand new decade. Like, has that really sunk in? That really didn't sink in for me until Allie and I started talking about doing this workshop, and I was like, gosh, like a brand new decade. Like, this is, like, I already love a new year because of the clean slate and the fresh start and all that kind of stuff, but this is like the ultimate clean slate. Like, this is a brand new decade. This is the push that we have all been waiting for, to do that thing, to take that next step, whatever it is, to just really get that extra fresh start, right? And so we are both just really excited to be talking about this, to be finally doing a live event together. We've never done this before, and so we're just really excited, and we are going to be busting 4 common money myths. So we are going to be telling you why these 4 common money thoughts are not true. And there are, I have to only use cash if I want a budget. I hear people say that all the time, like, well, I just can't use cash. Like, it's not just not going to work for me. Or if I create a budget, it'll be too restricting. Like, they feel like they're never going to be able to have fun again. They're never going to be able to go out to eat again, like all that kind of stuff. Or I must have like a really complicated budget, or it has to be exact, or if I mess up once, it's all out the door. Like, no. Or I love and hate this one, is I'm too broke to budget. Who has said that or heard someone say that? Like, raise your hand. Like, I wish I had enough money to even budget. I don't even have enough money to manage it. That is not true. That is completely false, completely a myth. So anyway, we are going to bust those 4 common money myths. We're going to give you the little push of motivation that you need to start the new year, new decade, I guess, on the right foot. So we're both just really excited about it. So you can go to financiallyfocused.com/BBYE, stands for Best Budgeting Year Ever. And I will also put the link in the show notes for you to sign up, claim your free spot. It is going to be on Saturday, December 7th at 10 a.m. Central. But of course, we will offer a limited time replay for those of you who can't join us live. But we would love for you to join live because this is going to be interactive. We don't have a lot of slides planned. We are waiting for you guys to come with your questions, with your myths, with everything that you need help with, so we can help you guys really make 2020 your best budgeting year ever. So anyway, all right, on to this week's topic. So we had 4 episodes to fill for December, 4 topics, and I wanted to talk about our nest, our home. And my husband always calls my wallowed out spot in the bed my nest, because I do. Like, I shape the pillows around my head. I bury myself under the blankets. And he is like, have you finally climbed out of your nest? Like, are you ready to join the rest of the world? So that's me. I am totally a nest kind of person. I like to just get comfy and stay somewhere. So anyway, we had 4 topics to cover, 4 spots, 4 episodes to fill for December. And I was like, okay, well, how do we talk about such an important topic, such a big topic, in only 4 episodes? Then I was like, well, you know, the last episode of the year between Christmas and New Year really has to be about setting our goals and, you know, just getting that clean slate for the fresh new year, because I'm all about that. Okay, so we're cut down to 3 now. And the next 2 weeks, I actually have a guest. I have guests joining me. I have Erin Tannehill from the Tannehill Homestead coming back for her second time as a guest, to talk all about everything she's been doing with minimalism and decluttering and just so much great stuff that she has going on. And then V from V Frugal Fox is coming back to just talk about her big move across the country, how much she purged and downsized. And so I'm like, so basically I am left with this week on my own to talk to you guys. So I have been reflecting on what I wanted to talk about, and I've been thinking a lot back on our family's journey with minimalism. And I even put together a sort of mini blog. It's not even really a full blog, but it's officially a blog post, so you guys can find it. I put the link in the show notes. It's called A Walk Through Our Minimalism Journey. Basically, I went back through old Facebook posts and I copy and pasted the captions and saved the pictures and reposted them for you guys. And this is really like the tip of the iceberg of our minimalism journey. There's so much that I didn't document, or I did and I couldn't find, or whatever. Or I was just too busy purging stuff to even take a picture of it, which happened a lot. And this was just a little tiny glimpse of what our minimalism journey has been like. And it's a continuous work in progress. So this is never, just like budgeting, just like goal setting, like this is never a one and done situation. Minimalism, simple living, intentional living in any respect, like I said, budgeting, goal setting, anything, you can't just do it once and then forget about it. Like, it's not ever going to be 100% on autopilot. Obviously, it will get easier than the first few times you do something. I mean, like any habit that you're building. But basically, I wanted you guys to see through these pictures that it was a huge feat. And there was so much of it, like I said, that I didn't even document. And we do maintenance purges now, like, all the time. I mean, at least once a week. I mean, as we clean, which is one of my tips that I was going to share with you guys. I'll go ahead and share it now, I guess. is that it doesn't have to be some, like, most people will say they don't have time. Like, I don't have time to take on a big project. And this, again, could be with any topic of intentional living. You don't have time to take on a big project. You can't drop everything. Sometimes we get lucky and we're in a season where we can, where it can be our main focus. But the majority of the time, that's not going to be the case. The majority of the time, we have a million other things going on, But we know that if we decluttered, it would make things simpler. So it's kind of like the chicken or the egg situation, like which one comes first? So what we do is now that it's a little bit easier, like we had to kind of take that big plunge at first, only because we were in a 3,000 square foot house and it was bursting at the seams. Plus we had outside buildings. We had our garage, like we had every piece of square footage full of clutter. Like it was insane. But anyway, so what we do now is when we clean, when we do our weekend routine, and I've talked on here about my Fresh Start weekends, and I can link to that as well. And we purge as we clean. So especially like my girls' room, it's never ever 100% perfect, like any kids' room, I'm sure. But as I clean their room, I throw things away. You know, I throw away trash, broken toys, things that they don't need. I put things in a get rid of pile or a donate pile or whatever it is. I put things back where they go. They're constantly getting, you know, hair ties or lipstick or stuff that they don't need out of the bathroom. Outside toys make their way inside. Things that go in our school closet end up in their bedroom, you know, things like that. So as I clean their room, I put things back. I throw away the trash. I notice like, hey, this toy, like they don't really play with anymore. I'm tired of looking at it or whatever the case is. And I'm going to put it in the get rid of pile. Or we were cleaning their room a couple weeks ago and my oldest daughter was like, hey, mama, I want to put these boots in the get rid of pile because last time I wore them, they were kind of hurting my feet and I think they're getting a little too small. And it was that simple. And now they're in the donate pile. It's that simple. And so I do that when we clean now that we are really like under control and kind of in maintenance mode. So when we first started, like I said, we were in a 3,000 square foot house, bursting at the seams. And on this like little mini blog post, I posted a lot of pictures and most of them are toys. And the toys were so out of control and still probably our biggest source of clutter, even though all three of my girls are in a 10 by 10 room and they don't have a lot of room. So it seems like every little mess on the floor is a mess. So we have to make sure that the clutter stays under control even more than we did when we had a huge house. And so the toys were the thing that caused me the most stress. And so that was really the place that I started. And I started out of stress and I started just out of exhaustion. And I just kind of had that fire in me that was like, I have had enough. And I usually push myself to that breaking point. And for some reason, I'm really productive when I get to that point. And that was a lot. That was the point I was at with our money as well. Like I got to a point where I was just like, I have had it. I am done. And this will stop now. And I just like flip a switch and go all in. And that works best for me. And because I kind of get that fire that I get mad at it and I just attack it and hustle through it and push through it. And I'm looking back at these pictures and honestly, most of this stuff, I don't even remember owning it until I see these pictures. And the amount of books we had, oh my gosh, you'll have to look at this post just to see how many books we had, how big our house really was. I post on here the like a screenshot of when we listed our house. Crazy. Just more books. There's so much more on here, like I said, that I don't have pictures of, but just to kind of give you a little bit of a perspective that it was a lot of narrow down. So really this time of year, I know that it is a big cause of stress because I know that I did a huge bulk of our decluttering that first year right before Christmas. I feel like it was like maybe October or November was like when I kind of had my that's enough moment with the toys. And I was like, and it's about to be Christmas. Like, there is no room to walk. We can't, like, we're losing things in the toys. And it's just about to be Christmas. And it's going to get worse. And I started, like, having that anxiety of, like, this is so out of control. This is so insane. And I wish I had the picture from the very first toy purge we did. Because I had a huge bucket. Like, if you've ever seen my stories or if you've ever seen those huge buckets at Target that have, like, the rope handles, that's what I had for my girls' toys. And I only have two now. But I had one of those full of just baby dolls. And I had another one of those full of just baby doll accessories, clothes, bottles, car seats. Like, whatever. Then I had another one of those full of dress-up clothes. Like, it was just insane. It was insane. And I thought that I could just organize it and that would fix it. Like, I just needed to organize it better. No. I had way too much. And I still am kind of an organizing freak. Like, when I clean my girls' room, I have a little bucket for their blocks, a little bucket for their little toys, a little bucket for their train tracks. And I still like to organize things, but no amount of organization is going to hide the fact that you just have too much stuff. And I could probably talk about that for hours. But this time of year, when we feel that anxiety of we're just about to get more stuff, especially the kids. They're just about to get more toys, more clothes, more games, more craft supplies, more, and they already have too much. And so you get to this point where it starts to kind of steal the joy out of the holidays. You dread them. And I was definitely there. And I will be honest, even this far into our journey, even with as minimal as our house is now, I still kind of get that little bit of anxiety of like, ugh, did I go overboard on their gifts? Well, what is everyone else going to get them? Are they going to go overboard on their gifts? What am I going to do? You know, and I get that little, and then I take a deep breath and I remember, number one, on my part, I know that I haven't gone overboard because I've set a budget. I haven't went into debt for Christmas. I know that I was intentional when I was shopping. I was intentional when I was planning out what I was going to buy them. I was intentional with all of that. So I don't just go into Target and start throwing everything in the shopping cart and just like swiping a credit card. That is out of control to me. I know that I was intentional. I know that I got them things that they really, really wanted or need or will bring them intense joy. Like, not just crap to fill a space. Not just crap to hit some quota of how many gifts I think I should give them, right? It was all intentional. So I take a deep breath. I remember that, hey, I didn't go into this blindly. I have made a lot of progress. In the past, I would have just ran down the toy aisle and grabbed everything that I thought was cute and swipe a credit card and pay for it in interest for like 2 or 3 more years, if not more. That's not intentional at all. So I know that I've made progress there. And I also know that at the end of the day, we don't have to keep this stuff forever. So as much as I kind of hate that in a way, that we live in such a disposable society, it is what it is. And, you know, I don't know. I kind of wish it wasn't like that. And I try to consciously make our family less and less of a like a disposable mindset, but I can't control 100% what other people give my children, mostly grandparents. But I know that I don't have to keep these things. My kids don't have to keep these things out of guilt or out of, guilt is all I can think of. They're not married to these toys, right? They are allowed to donate them when they're tired of them. They're allowed to throw them away when they're broken. That it is what it is. We don't have to keep them forever. So that brings me a little bit of freedom knowing that we don't have to keep stuff forever. And that's not just the kids' toys. That's everything. If we don't like it, if it doesn't bring us joy, if it doesn't fit into what idea we have, we donate it or throw it away. It's that simple. So that brings me a lot of peace of mind knowing that. And yeah, there were a couple of things on my kids' Christmas list, mainly my middle daughter, that she asked for, and 2-3 things that I can think of off the top of my head for my middle daughter that I thought were silly, frivolous, ridiculous toys that I think she's probably going to get tired of in a couple of months, and I bought them for her anyway. It fit into her gift budget, and here we are. And I know that we don't have to keep them forever, and it is what it is. So I think just, you know, kind of go into it with a little bit lighter of a heart. Go into it with, you know, it's just for a short season. They're not, you know, it'll be fine. We can declutter later. And so going into it more in the aspect of the cozy Christmas kind of vibe, like when I was thinking about what I wanted to talk to you guys about this week, I kept kind of thinking of this cozy Christmas. And I was thinking about this the other night. I was just kind of like, I had put the kids to bed. I was really just tired. It had been a long day. And I got the house tidied up, even though my younger two were being like really terrible and really pushing me to my limit. And I still got them to bed at like a decent hour, and my house was still like 90% clean. I needed to wash dishes. I let the dishes sit. But other than that, the house was clean. I wouldn't have even, like, I would have welcomed a guest over at that point. Like, at the end of the day, at the end of having a 4- and 5-year-old be, like, in terrible moods, I still would have let someone come over to visit. And I was just kind of sitting on the couch, and I had that, like, the house is quiet, the house is clean, the Christmas tree lights are on, which I think makes everything like 100% more magical. I don't know why. And I just took this deep breath and I was like, this is my life. And I really got reflective on how far we've come. And when you are decluttering, when you are purging and you're tired and, you know, you're doing it in your spare time, you're doing it while your kids are asleep after bedtime, which was the majority of when I did my decluttering and my deep cleaning and like all of this work. And it's not just the physical actions of decluttering. It is the heart work is so hard. And I think we, like, a lot of people underestimate how hard that part is going to be. There's guilt, there's memories, there's shame of things that you wasted money on, of things that you promised yourself you were going to use and you didn't, of, you know, getting rid of the clothes that are too small for you now and dealing with that shame of like, I'm never going to be that size again, or whatever it is. I just, or knowing that different seasons of your life have passed. When one of the hardest things for me to declutter was my crafts. And back in the day before we had any kids, we had an office space in our house. This was like right after we got married, and we had an office space in our house, and it was my craft room. And I had a craft room, a sewing machine set up, places that I could paint, like everything. And when I slowly, it dwindled down as we were purging. And by the time we moved into this house, I had to get rid of like 98% of it. And so I sold like so much fabric at a garage sale. I still kept my sewing machine. I still kept a small box, like a little bit bigger than a shoe size box of sewing supplies. And then I have another box of craft supplies. And I literally cried because I realized that that season of my life just wasn't happening anymore. I didn't have a space for it. I honestly didn't have the time for it anymore. And that kind of stuff is hard. It's hard to accept that things have changed, right? So I think knowing that you're not alone in the emotions that go into it. Not only are you probably going to be a little tired from the physical action of going through every single space in your house and going through like every single item that you own, that is going to be physically tiring. The emotional work is pretty hard too. And so I think that just going into it, knowing that like you're not alone in it, if you're sitting there crying over baby clothes, which I did as well, especially when I purged my youngest's newborn clothes, knowing that she was my last baby, that's hard. And I kept her like coming home from the hospital outfit, of course, and I think I kept maybe one or two other outfits. And it was so hard that I literally just opened her dresser drawers, grabbed everything, and didn't make eye contact with the clothes, which is so silly. But in the moment, it was real. It was strong. It was hard. And I didn't make eye contact with the clothes. I just grabbed handfuls of clothes and stuffed them in a trash bag and then just like tied up the trash bag and didn't even look back at them, you know, like I just went and donated them. I couldn't even look at them long enough to sell them or, you know, like take pictures of them or post them online or anything. I just needed them gone because it was so hard. But anyway, so I think just kind of circling back to, because y'all know I get on tangents when I am talking in these episodes by myself. But circling back to the idea of like just sitting on the couch reflecting with the Christmas tree and the clean house and just thinking like this cozy moment, this simple life was what I worked so hard for 4 years ago. 4 years ago, right before Christmas, when I was purging and I was sweating and crying and exhausted, this is the moment. And it just kind of felt like a full circle moment for me. And I remember writing, which year was it? It might have been, it was, we moved into this house in, gosh, what year was that? We moved into this house in July. And so when I set that year's New Year's goal, one of my goals was to be in a small, cozy house and to be living a simple, quiet life, something to that effect. And I'm just kind of like having that moment of like, this is reality. All this work has paid off. So hopefully that brings you some comfort to know that that full circle moment will come. You will get there and it is worth it. It does exist. in all of that. And to also, you know, you can start decluttering now. Like, you don't have to wait for the new year. And in a lot of ways, I think that a good, like, pre-Christmas declutter is almost good because it helps you kind of go into the season with a little more of like a welcoming of the gifts. And like, you can really be a wholehearted receiver, because nothing is worse than like giving someone a gift and them being like, oh, I don't really want this. So don't be that kind of receiver, which I have totally been guilty of that too, where I'm like, great, more crap, more clutter, something I don't really want. And I try to be gracious, but I know that the look on my face is just like, why? Why? Or why did you buy this for my child? Something like that. But I think if you do like a good pre-Christmas declutter real quick, like, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It just has to be, as you clean your kids' room, just throw some things away, put, you know, set some toys aside to donate, things like that. As you fold the laundry, be like, you know, be like, this has a stain, why do I keep wearing this? Or this doesn't really fit my child anymore, I'm gonna put it in the hand-me-down pile. Or as you're putting your laundry away in your closet, notice what is still hanging up. Notice what is still sitting on the shelves. And be honest with yourself. Like, I really don't like this shirt anymore. It's been sitting here all season and I haven't worn it. I'm not going to wear it. Put it in the donation pile. Now, if someone gives me a new shirt or a gift card to a clothing store for Christmas, I can receive that with full joy and appreciation. Because I'm like, yay, I can replace that shirt. Cool. You get the idea. As you're putting your dishes away, like, okay, I do this all the time. I'm just doing dishes and I'm like, nope, throw it in the trash. I did this the other day. It was like random cups. I'm washing them and I'm like, why am I washing this trash? This is disgusting. Like, this, I feel like my kids' cups are the worst. I'm like, this is gross. Why do I still own this trash? It's that simple. You know, as you're like paying your bills and you notice like your paperwork is cluttered, throw some things away, you know, file some things away. Do, you know, as you are going through your normal chores, right? Another one of my favorite tips is to keep our vehicles clean. And my husband will laugh at me every time that I say, like, I keep my car clean, but I keep it decluttered, okay? I don't vacuum it as much as I should because my children eat in my car, but I keep it decluttered. So my thing is, like, when we get out, we grab our stuff. Like, we grab our trash, we grab toys, we grab whatever random stuff has ended up in the car, we grab it, we take. The only thing that stays in my car is, like, I have a pop-up chair that I take, like, mostly to, like, soccer practice, a little picnic blanket, mostly for soccer practice, two umbrellas, a roll of paper towels, and, like, a couple of, like, random pins. That's it. Like, every car seat. everything else, like, bring it in when we go in the house. And it's that simple. Like, just stay on top of it. So, you know, start now as you're going through your normal chores, and it is going to bring you a lot of comfort. It's going to bring you that fresh, like, ready for Christmas, ready for the new year. And then what I love about that week between Christmas and New Year's, you'll know that that week feels so awkward and lost anyway. Like, you're just like, what is life? Christmas is over, but yet it's not really New Year's, and you just kind of wander around in a fog for like a week. That week is prime productivity real estate right there. That week is where, as you're putting up your Christmas decorations, or if you leave them up till New Year's, some people do, but I usually put them away somewhere in that week. That is a perfect time to clean, purge. Like, as you start like putting your regular decorations back up, be like, I really don't like this anymore. I don't want to get rid of it. Or notice like how good it feels when all the decorations are down and things are clean and empty and it feels great, and kind of go with that. Or go with, you know, once your kids get new toys, all right, let's make room for these new toys. Let's get rid of some of these old ones that we aren't enjoying playing with anymore. And the same thing for you. Like, if you get new dishes, if you get new clothes, get rid of things that are taking that place where that new stuff is going to go. So even though we are kind of going into the most commercialized holiday that there is, we can still go into it with a good minimalistic attitude towards our home, towards our possessions, and all of that good stuff. So that was basically what I wanted to share with you guys. Just give you a little bit of encouragement that, you know, even though you might be dreading all of the new stuff that is going to be coming into your home, you can do something about it between now and the new year, and you don't have to wait for January to purge. You can do it as you are cleaning. You can do it, you know, even in the few days leading up to Christmas. So I hope that that's helpful. I hope that that's encouraging. Again, check out that little mini blog post. Like I said, it's not all the stuff, but it'll just give you a little bit of an insight into kind of where I was in the journey, a few pictures. And while you are over in the show notes, don't forget to sign up for the Best Budgeting Year Ever workshop that Allie and I are hosting. Again, it is free, and we will have a limited time replay for those of you who can't join us live Saturday morning. That is about it for me this week, you guys. I hope that this was helpful. Like I said, we are going to have a guest next week. Erin will be with us, and then V will be with us the week after. So we still have a few solid weeks left in the year, so let's make the most of them. And that is all. I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.